Hi, Pixel.
I am so preemptively exhausted for the next 3 weeks. Like, I have so much shit going on. Okay, so, like, item one on the agenda, I get to go back east, back home, to visit my, yeah, to see all my conservative relatives.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're taking a little side quest, little national park action for a few days. That'll be good to just go in the woods and scream about whatever my parents say to me next week. And then I have my kid's birthday, and then I have a work conference, and then it's my birthday, and then this big fucking event thing that I'm planning. It is all so much. It is, as my father would say, 10 pounds of shit shoved in a 5-pound bag. So
damn, it's about to bust.
I'm gonna get shit
all over you.
I am, but listen, listeners at home, I'm making time for this. You know what other podcasts do? Other podcasters take vacations. Other podcasters take breaks. But what do we do?
We just work ourselves to death.
We work ourselves to death.
A bunch of episodes.
We sacrifice. Yes, we sacrifice sleep in favor of hobbies. And if anything big happens in the world and we don't seem to know about it until a month from now, that's because we're recording like 4 episodes this week for you people.
For you. You better be grateful.
You better.
And give us some 5-star reviews and interact on our Instagram.
Seriously.
Also, I should probably be better at posting things on Instagram, but it's
hard.
It has
been a long, ma'am. It has been a while since you posted anything.
I know.
And I know, like, I'm not helping with that at all.
Yeah.
I know that I'm not doing that. But also,
I know I gotta be better about at least posting graphics for episode releases.
When was the last one? Was it Silent Hill Part 2? I think of
it.
Yep.
It might have been.
Well, anyway, we have because I had a 2-parter with 2 video game episodes back to back a little bit ago. We're going to do a book episode this week as well as last week. We'll have a game episode. We'll get back to an everything back and forth situation. But yeah, we are doing back-to-back book episodes.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So if you're more of a Pixel fan than a Page fan, I apologize. If you're more of a Page fan than a Pixel fan, you're goddamn welcome.
I don't really know if those people exist. I'm pretty sure you're pulling in all the traffic.
So here's the thing. I'm annoying and I'm spammy. And like everyone that I think might be a little bit interested, I'm like, hey, here's a link.
See, I did that, but then I was talking about it at work and my boss was there and I was like telling all my coworkers, and then I looked at my boss and I was like, you're not allowed to listen.
Oh, totally. There are definitely people that I will never talk about it
around. And like, she's cool. Like, I don't actually think that she would care or that I would get in trouble or anything, but I'm like, maybe wait. Wait until we know each other a little bit better, because I just got a new job not too long ago, so we're still like...
You're also not the problematic one.
Yeah.
If anything, you look really even-keeled by comparison.
True. Do I need to get more unhinged?
No, you know what? So I've had some conversations with fans about, like, the penis head joke that you dropped a few episodes back, heard round the world. Everyone was a huge fan. Like, that was like...
I don't even remember.
You said, like, she rubbed his head, the one on his head, or something about that.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, really good. Everyone loved it. But, like, immediately, they're like, that was awesome. I was so proud of Paige. And a few beats later, they're like, but it's kind of better when she's the straight man and you're just pissing her off. I'm like, see?
Oh, come on. I want to have fun sometimes. I just am not good at it. I'm not good at it spontaneously. But let me have the ones that I do get, okay?
You know what? No, I agree. As long as most of the time you are trying and failing to keep me grounded. And every once in a while you dip your toe into the crazy end of the pool. I think that's the secret sauce.
Should sometimes just let you be free.
And thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right.
Go ahead. What book are... I don't know what the fuck we're doing. What are we doing?
I don't know what I'm doing either. Just kidding. All right, y'all. Today we're going to talk about a book Written by one of my favorite authors. This author is an auto buy author, as we call it in the business.
That's so confusing because I keep thinking you're going to say autobiography because that's also a fucking book term.
Auto buy, auto read.
B-U-Y. I get, B-U-Y. I mean, I get it, but it's.
Either one works.
I'm not in the, I'm not on book talk.
That's okay. It's kind of a shit show over there. We should do a page talks about just wild book drama going on. Sometime. That
could be if we ever have a Patreon, just like a book talk bitch sesh, and then I could bring this similar energy, but from like whatever fucking nonsense is going on at like the gaming magazines.
Because let me tell you. The amount of times in like just the past 2 years since I have been on the book talk, bookstagram, book social media, I can count on two hands, not just one, two hands, the number of times a white girl has posted an aesthetic book stack with Mein Kampf in it.
No fucking way.
Yes, it happens. Once every 2 months, usually. That's... And they don't, it doesn't stop. It keeps happening. And I'm like,
and it's not like a stuff I'm reading to understand the horrors of the world.
No, it's just like picked up the fancy, like one a couple months back, she literally bought like a gold sprayed edge special edition brand new copy of this book.
Who is making that? Who is
insane?
So like, so I have a friend. I'm just going to use his real name because he's not a listener and he lives far away. My friend Roger. He got in trouble in high school because he checked out Mein Kampf from the school library and read it as like with a historical interest as a like know your enemy type thing. And he was like put on a list and he got in trouble and they made him talk.
Why
to the
do they have it in the library?
That's the
then?
Fucking point. A. If you don't like, I don't believe in banning books. I believe in intellectual freedom. I believe in reading shit you don't agree with.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like posing with it and being like, look at this cool ass thing.
If you want to read that book because you just want to know what it says, if you're or you're researching or whatever, either get it from the library.
Yeah, don't
give or find money. Some used, beat up, shitty ass. Copy at a used bookstore. If you are buying that book new and posting pictures of it with cute little hashtags, you're a sick person.
What are the hashtags?
I don't know. Just like, you know, hashtag bookstagram, hashtag bookstack.
I was thinking like call. Way worse.
Anyway, garbage.
Hashtag
anyway.
lightning bolt.
No. Anyway, so,
What are we? Yeah, well, you don't even know the name of the book we're reading.
It's taking too long. The book we are talking about today is called "The Adoration of Jenna Fox." By
she
Mary.
Hot?
She's a teenager.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
Stop it.
Adoration. I didn't know.
"The Adoration of Jenna Fox" by Mary E. Pearson is a book that tackles issues like biomedical ethics and what makes a person a person.
Ooh, like House of Scorpion.
So I fell in love with Pearson's writing after reading her series, The Remnant Chronicles, and I hope to reread it and then talk about it on here sometime. But since I read those books, I have been on a quest to just read her backlog, and she's been around a while. These books, I believe, were published, this one I believe was published in 2008. So she's won some awards, she's been around a while. So anyway, this is the sixth book by her that I have read, and it is the first book in a series that I am actually now reading the second book of, and I will probably talk about that in the future. Anyway, so, let's get lit. Our story starts with our main character, Jenna, at home recovering from being in a coma that she wakes from with zero memory.
Nice.
She is living with her mom, her dad, and her grandmother, Lily. Her grandmother is super not a fan of Jenna. We don't know why.
I have one of those.
Just doesn't really, like, not being, like, mean or cruel, but just, like, doesn't want to talk to her, doesn't really want to be around her type of thing.
My grandma unfriended me on Facebook the first time Trump ran for president.
She lives in California, but has told she previously lived in Boston. Jenna's mom kind of suggests throughout the book that she watched these like old home videos to get her memories back.
Okay.
Eventually, Jenna is bored out of her damn mind and, against her mother's wishes, sneaks out to explore her neighborhood, where she eventually stumbles into one of her neighbors named Mr. Bender. He is an artist, and they kind of have a little chit-chat, just like, hey, how are you? What's your name? Da-da-da, that kind of thing. On the way home, she falls into a creek, and she gets her first memory back of her almost drowning as a toddler.
Because she fucking keeps falling into creeks. What are you doing?
Yeah.
How hard? Creeks aren't very big.
Well, no, the other time she didn't, it wasn't a creek. It was like a lake that she almost drowned in. But the falling in the creek jogged the memory of her almost drowning.
Why did she fucking fall? Listen.
I think she was like walking across on some rocks or something and she falls. She was
being an idiot.
She was being a, you know, a child.
Listen, it is canon for this podcast that children are assholes. Like, the child characters are not sympathetic.
Anyway, so when she gets home, her mom is pretty much really pissed. And then, like, doesn't. She's like, nope, she's not allowed out of sight of an adult, either her mom. Her dad is, like, in Boston a lot still for work. But most of the time, she ends up kind of being chaperoned by Lily, her grandmother.
Who doesn't like her.
Who does not like her.
And we don't know why she has coma. Or why she was in a... Okay.
More to come. She was in an accident, is what, like, the description of the book says, is that she was in an accident.
But she don't remember it.
She doesn't remember it. No. Mm-hmm. She remembers, like, based, like, kind of like, oh, I know I'm a girl and I'm 17 years
old. I know how to brush my teeth.
And like, yeah, those types of things. Anyway... So, Lily starts taking her to the local Catholic mission where Lily volunteers. On the drive there, Jenna asks Lily questions about her parents. Lily tells Jenna that her parents have a boatload of money because her father is a biomedical scientist who developed a new technology to not only store organs for organ transplant, but a technology that can create organs from stem cells. And then he sold this company. And so now they have a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So they get to the mission. Jenna sees a boy her age, and she's kind of like, hey, I would like to make some friends. Can I go to school? And her mom's like, fuck no. Not in those.
This is okay.
Her mom does not want her to go to school.
Or anywhere.
Or anywhere, really. Like, her mom just wants her to be inside and stay there, and she's being very overprotective, which I guess, like, her daughter was in a coma. I guess I get it. But she, like, does not want her daughter out of her sight. Okay. But I think she kind of, Jenna kind of wears her down. Lily kind of has this, like, are you seriously going to keep this girl in this house for the rest of her life? Mm-hmm. So her mom eventually does kind of give in. They send her to, like, this super, super small charter school. I think there's, like, 8 students there total. So she gets there. She meets Ethan, who is the boy that was at the mission that she saw. A boy named Dane, who she realizes is her neighbor. And then a girl named Alice, who is got a really bad bacterial infection and is now a quadruple amputee.
Jesus.
But I guess I didn't really mention this. Kind of takes place in, like, the near future America. So medical technology is a bit further ahead. So she's got prosthetics, but they're like almost indistinguishable.
Bold to assume there is a near future for America.
Yeah. I mean, actually, this near future, like, I think the backstory is that, like, a lot of people died from a virus. During a pandemic. Don't you just love that?
Sometimes you just gotta clear out.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta get rid of the chaff, you know.
Yeah. So Jenna is assigned to work on a project with Ethan, and she begins to develop a little crush.
Of course. Have you ever met an Ethan that wasn't fucking crazy? Because I have not.
Ethan warns her to stay away from Dane.
So Dane's great. Dane is
crazy. And it actually, like, it only kind of comes up a little bit later. I don't actually quite know the purpose of Dane, and I'll talk about that later. But
that's okay. I've known one Dane.
I know Dane Cook.
Yeah. I knew, like, I went to school with a kid named Dane, and he was cool. He didn't have hands, but he had, like, he was born without hands, but he could use his wrists to, like, write. Like, he would use his little wrist nubbins. Sorry, I just hit my microphone. He'd use his little wrist nubbins to, like, grab a pencil and write. He was awesome.
Okay.
Cool dude.
Cool. All right, so during the So during this time, she visits Mr. Bender again. And like she kind of is like, hey, when we were together last time, your backstory was really weird and you said you were this guy, but that guy, I looked him up and he should be like 80 years old and you're like 50. So what the heck is going on, dude? So he kind of is like, yeah, I'm not really this guy. I took on his identity because he was my mentor after I ran into a rough patch and then he died. And because nobody really knew who he was, I took on his identity.
Yeah, probably because you had, like, crimes. You didn't just do it because you like the guy. You're getting rid of your old life. It was
something. There was something. I can't even remember. But you know, I forgot it already because I read this book, like, a month ago. And I took too long to write the synopsis. So I don't remember why.
Sorry. There was something. At home. You're going to have to read the fucking book yourself, I guess. We're not actually saving you any work this week.
Sorry. Anyway... he also reveals that he looked up her name and that he knows that she died or not died. She was in a car accident.
I know you're dead.
She was in a car accident.
Can anyone else see you?
That would have been a real plot twist. Some Sixth Sense type shit going on here. No, she was in a car accident and she was not expected to survive. So he knows that about
her. Wait a second, the guy from Sixth Sense is dead?
Get out I'm sorry. Of my... Oh my god, sorry if I spoiled that really old movie for you. Huh. I see dead people. She also begins to remember that she had friends back in Boston. She wasn't a total loser. Her friends' names are Kara and Locke.
Locke.
Yeah.
Like spelled like a padlock or like a
L-O-C-K-E.
Oh, is that his first name?
I think so.
Ugh. I don't know. The names in this book are not doing it for me.
Yeah, also Alice is spelled A-L-L-Y-S.
So
I don't know what's going on in near future America, but
is it because doing a good like job the degradation of the education of America? Like no one can fucking do phonics anymore.
I don't know. They don't really explain it.
I don't like that.
Anyway, Jenna begins to spend more time with Ethan and Alice and starts to become friends with them. She learns that Alice is extremely passionate about bioethics and government oversight over medical procedures.
How old is Alice?
They're like 17. Okay. So the reason she lost her limbs is because she got this bacterial infection and they couldn't get like a waiver to get her like an antibiotic in time. And so that's why she like wants to make sure that ethics and everything that's going on with medical procedures is happening properly so that people could get their care. Like, I get why she's, you know.
Yeah, whatever. No, I forgot about the missing limbs thing for a second. I was distracted by the way that her name is spelled.
So anyway, she starts talking to Jenna about they're like talking about bioethics and she brings up this stuff called biogel. Jenna remembers that biogel is the name of that thing that her dad invented.
It's like Astroglide. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Oh my god. Anyway, so Biogel is able to make new organs from stem cells, but it's regulated by assigning points to certain organs, and once you reach a certain amount of points, you're done. You can't get any more organs.
So that's
kind of how they've decided to regulate the use of biogel and how many things you can have recreated from biogel in your body.
Is it a limited good? Like, is it one of those, like, that we can only make so much so people can only use so much?
No. It's basically like, well, then how can we stop people from then, like, recreating themselves, like an entire person type of thing? Like, who's to stop anybody?
Why fucking not?
They've decided that after a certain amount, then that person's not a person anymore. They're mostly this biogel stuff. I don't know.
But I feel like an easier way to do that is like, okay, we're not gonna fuck around with the brain or the nervous system. Because that's the person.
I think something with the brain is like it has to be like 51% or something. Like, I don't, there's more rules, but basically when it boils down, the organs, you get points after certain points amount, no more organs.
No, I get it, but it feels like if there isn't available medical intervention, you just happen to be one of those unlucky people that needs more than someone else, and they can help you, but, oh, I don't know.
Right.
There's always ethical issues no matter what path you take. But
yeah, so that's kind of the point of the book. around this time, Jenna is kind of like snooping around while her parents are gone, and she finds a closet locked in her parents' room.
Hot.
She finds the key, but is interrupted.
No, you never go into the locked thing in your parents'
room.
Shut up.
Oh my god, this is a young adult book. Stop it.
No, I did that when I was a young adult. I opened the wrong fucking drawer in my parents' room, and no, holy shit.
That's not what's in there. Please stop.
Not a banana hammock with googly eyes. That's not what she found. That's what
she
found.
She finds the key, but is interrupted by a visit from Ethan. He confesses that the reason that he is at this chartered school for wayward children is because he was at in a juvenile detention center for a year because he beat the shit out of a guy.
Okay.
And Jenna is overwhelmed by his honesty and kisses him.
Sure, Jan. You're just so honest.
I love a bad boy. Anyway, her grandma sees them kissing and she's like, hey, you really probably shouldn't do that. But she doesn't really explain why. She's just like, it's not a good idea.
Mm.
And so Jenna's like, what?
She's 17.
She's like, what?
Premarital kissing. I guess grandma does volunteer at the Catholic mission. So,
Anyway, so the next opportunity she gets, she snoops into the locked closet in her parents' room. Inside, she finds three computers, and the middle one has her name on it. She tries to pry it free, but she cuts her hand open. When she looks at the cut, she doesn't just see blood, but also a gooey blue substance and prosthetic bone.
Yeah.
She confronts her mother when she gets home. And her mother confesses that after the accident, only 10% of Jenna's brain was able to be salvaged. And they rebuilt the rest of her using biogel.
Whoa. So she's way not legal.
She's super illegal. Whoa. So Jenna's father is in Boston. The mom calls him and is like, hey, she figured it out. So he flies home. And kind of gives a bit more of an explanation. Essentially, they took Jenna's consciousness. They talk about, like, oh, it was only 10% of her brain, but it's the most important 10%.
Convenient.
I believe that's probably, like, the frontal lobe, like, where, like, your personality and everything is, where all of that stuff is.
Yeah.
Because they can recreate the brainstem that does all the automatic stuff.
But also, like, the more we learn about the brain, the more we learn that things aren't as, like, localized as...
This book came out in 2008. I think that that was the science.
No, then. I'm sure. And also, that's kind of still, like, the what researchers are learning and what actually gets filtered down into, like, what people are educated about.
Right.
There's, like, there's a pretty long time lag there.
Anyway, so they say that the most important 10%, that's what her parents claim. I mean, whatever. So essentially they like take her consciousness, they upload it onto a computer, they get her DNA, they rebuild her body, and then stick her consciousness back into this body made out of biogel.
So it's a copy of her consciousness. I'm sorry, I'm getting... Never mind. It's a rabbit hole I don't want to mm-hmm. go down.
Let's continue. So they even go as far as to upload the entire 11th grade curriculum, like standard curriculum, to her brain because she's going to miss school.
If we can just do that.
Uh-huh. Like, it's actually really funny. Like, she just like starts like quoting like Thoreau and stuff throughout the book and like all this, like she just knows these things because they were like, well, she's going to miss school. Guess we'll just upload it all.
If I could just like get like a jump drive, like on whatever topic I want, like, you know what? I'm speaking French now. Just fucking stick it in my ear and go to sleep and wake up.
Heck yeah.
Parlez-vous français, bitch.
So she's like super illegal. So they moved to California, number one, because they got to take her somewhere else where they won't get caught. And also because, the biogel needs to be in a like a temperate environment.
Mm.
And so if they stayed in Boston, the cold winters would like kill her like within like a year.
That seems like an oversight.
Well, I think it's just like that's just they don't really know how stable it would be in the cold because they're not testing it for that. Why would they need to do that? It's only supposed to be temporary type of thing. Like, it's not supposed to be...
How can an organ be temporary?
Not temporary, but, like, it's, like, when your body, like, her whole body is made out of biogel.
So the skin, there's no, like insulation. Yes, okay, that makes
everything
sense.
Everything is bio. Her entire being is this gel substance. I don't know. The science isn't, like, super deep.
Yeah.
So, it's okay. We're just going to go with it.
Okay.
Anyway, so the conversation ends there, but Lily kind of hints to Jenna that there might be a little bit more that they're not telling her.
Great.
She kind of hints at it by saying, like, before your accident, your mom told you to go to your room and you didn't. And so then Jenna kind of starts to realize, hey, my mom has been telling me to go to my room a lot lately. And every time, despite not wanting to, I feel oddly compelled to go to my room.
They made her obedient.
So
fuck.
So she confronts them again. And it's like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And they kind of were like, we didn't like program you. We just inserted one subliminal command in case they were like, it was kind of, they said that they did it to protect her in case somebody from the biomedical ethics governing board, in case they ever came looking, they could just say, Jenna, go to her room, and she would go and hide. That's what they say. That's what they're saying is the reason why they, and it's the one command and nothing else, and she's not a programmed robot.
Did you watch Westworld?
I've watched a couple episodes. I wanted to watch it. I am just really bad at watching television.
So season one, season two, to a lesser extent, excellent. Mm-hmm. But there's this like moment where like one of the like, okay, spoilers for Westworld. There's this moment where one of the like robot sex workers mm-hmm. like gets access to her tablet with her programming.
Uh-huh.
And there's like dials that like her intelligence is turned really far down and there's other things are turned. So she just like, let's crank up this intelligence. Let's turn down this servility obedience thing. Let's mess around with, and then things go really poorly for the humans.
Yeah.
But like the idea of, so someone who starts out as human and like, you can just fucking tinker around in there.
Mm. Yeah. Yup. Anyway, so Jenna learns all this, and she's obviously very distraught. She's not really sure how to feel, and so she, like, is just gonna ignore. She's, like, ignoring her friends. She's kind of staying away from them, whatever. He confronts her, and even though she was told not to tell anyone about her super illegal self, she decides, I can trust Ethan, and she tells him. She says she feels like a monster, doesn't want to, like, hurt him, all of these things. Ethan comforts her, tells her, you know, you're not a monster, all this stuff. People think I'm a monster because I beat some guy up, but really I only beat him up because he was a drug dealer and he got my younger brother addicted to crack. So it's okay, I guess.
Sure.
Beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Some guy. So.
Yeah, I've known people to, like, roll up on a dealer because of a loved one.
Yeah.
I get it.
So he basically is like, I know who monstrous people are, and you're not a monstrous person. Anyway. So now Jenna's, like, super curious about what the heck happened before her accident that she can't remember. And she's trying to search herself up on her, like, laptop thing. But her parents have literally, like, blocked everything. They don't. They don't want her to find out what the heck happened. So she sneaks out and goes back to Mr. Bender's house, which I don't really love that his name is Bender, but that's okay. It's his last name, but still.
That's fine.
Anyway, she goes to Mr. Bender's house to use his computer. She finds out that her friends, Kara and Locke, died in the accident and that she was driving without a license.
Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So she's starting to spend more time with Lily. Lily's kind of doesn't, like, the thing with Lily is that she's like, I resolved that you were gone and I grieved and now I, but, like, your parents can't move on and, like, I moved on, but, like, now you're this thing that's still here. And so that's why she was kind of.
Is she, like, too Catholic to be cool with a mostly goop being? Is it, like, a soul thing?
I think there's a little bit of that. And I think throughout the book, Lily starts to warm up and I think she kind of realizes, like, oh, like, her body is goop, but, like, this person, the way she's acting, the way she's talking, what she's doing, like, this is still my granddaughter, I think. So Lily starts to, like,
come around. Okay.
So Lily tells Jenna that the plan, if anyone ever found out about her, is that Lily would take her to her dad's friend, Edward, and Edward would get them out of the country.
Okay.
I only mention that because it comes up.
Are there other countries that are, like, more permissive about, like, this sort of thing?
I think so. I think that's what they say. And they're, like, gonna go take her to, like, the French countryside. Like,
away. The French would be chill about this. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Also, I forgot to mention tiny little detail. Jenna has been hearing her friends voices talking to her in her head.
Oh, baby.
But she realizes that the voices are not just, like, disembodied voices in her mind. They are voices that lead her back to the closet in her parents' room. She discovers the other two computers that are there.
They save their consciences too?
Been labeled with her friends.
What the fuck?
With her friends' consciousnesses.
So, like, what are they on the same fucking Wi-Fi? What?
Essentially, they figured out how to upload these consciousnesses, and as long as they remain plugged in and connected, the consciousness can keep spinning. I think they said if they were to ever be, like, unplugged, it would take, like, a half an hour for the consciousnesses to disappear. That's what they say in the book.
Stupid.
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Well, they get no bodies.
So she realizes, oh my God, I can hear them because that dark void that I remember from being in a coma is not because I was in a coma. It's because I was literally suspended in, my consciousness was suspended in a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for some reason that is unexplained, she and then Locke and Kara are able to, like, communicate still with their consciousnesses in these computers.
It's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. Whatever.
Probably. Anyway, she's confronts her parents again because her parents refuse to just tell her everything. And they basically said it started because they had already decided they were going to do this stuff with Jenna. And once they realized that Kara and Locke were probably not going to make it, Jenna's mom was like, just felt awful for the parents. And mm-hmm. so they uploaded their consciousnesses, but it ended up not working out that they could save them. And the other two died, but they decide to keep the consciousness of Kara and Locke alive just in case someday their memories can exonerate Jenna from being the one who caused the car crash.
Ah, so they're keeping them in this, like, void hell to...
Yeah.
Fuck that. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't love any of that.
No, I don't. I don't like that.
So wait, question. Yeah. This isn't kind of like jumping out of time here, but that's okay. Will she age?
No.
So essentially she is it kind of like functional mortality as long as she's not like grievously injured in some way or
They said they think that the biogel could probably last around 200 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But she's not going to age.
She's just going to, like, give up one day.
She's going to be, yeah, eventually it will just stop working, I guess. Wow. Yeah. So, at school... One day, Alice confronts Jenna about being, she figures out that Jenna is, in fact, Jenna Fox, the daughter of the biogel inventor who got into this serious car accident and wasn't supposed to survive. And she has kind of figured out what's going on, mm-hmm. what Jenna is. Ethan asks Alice if, she will report Jenna, but instead of answering, Alice storms off and does not come back to school. She's gone. Don't know why.
Oh. Okay.
So Jenna is starting to remember more and more about her past. She remembers a car in Mr. Bender's garage that she recognizes and confronts him and is like, hey, you're my friend's dad. You're my dad's friend, Edward, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, I am. I think he really did take that old man's identity, but it was more so he moved out there so that he could be a part of, like, the escape plan.
Okay.
I think her dad, like, helped him when he was in trouble, and so he felt like he owed him a favor type of thing.
Sure.
So that's why he's there. Anyway, while she's, like, there talking to Mr. Bender, she starts to remember the accident, and she remembers that the accident, even though the car was hers and that's why they assumed that Jenna was driving, Jenna was not the one driving, it was Kara.
Okay.
So she goes home and she overhears her dad talking about moving something precious the next day, and so she kind of deduces, like, oh, they're gonna move these computers mm-hmm. somehow. And so Jenna's like, okay, I have to make a decision. I either need to keep my friends in these boxes
mm-hmm.
so that one day, if I can ever be out in public and they still arrest me for causing this car accident, I can then use these memories and consciousnesses to exonerate myself. Or she can figure out a way to dispose of the computers and set her friends free.
Can't they just, like, find something in the fucking consciousness code and, like, make a little copy of the snippet that's, like, a confession?
I don't know.
I feel like I'm not thinking about this hard enough.
Yeah, I don't know. She is waiting for Ethan to come and pick her up to go see Alice because she wants to like apologize and talk to her and all this stuff. And Lily comes up and offers to help Jenna destroy Kara and Locke's backups. And she agrees. Ethan comes, picks her up. They go to see Alice. They discover that Alice is not doing well from all of her sicknesses and illnesses. I can't remember exactly what happened, but essentially Alice is dying. Alice does not have much left to live. She is, her organs are shutting down. They can't use the biogel transplants because she would, it would be too many points. Before they leave, though, Alice pulls Jenna in close and tells Jenna that she told her parents to report Jenna's family. So now she has to decide, is she still going to stay and help Kara and Locke, or is she going to run? Because now somebody can report her because they know the truth. She decides to stay and help save her friends. Save, release, whatever. Essentially, Lily creates a distraction and then Jenna goes, gets the computers, takes them, runs out to the backyard, and throws them in the pond in the backyard.
Okay.
She comes back in the house. Jenna's parents, they're like upset, but also like just more like, what are you doing? And she was like, well, like, there's no hope for them. We can't recreate their bodies. Like, so it's like silly. So they kind of are like, okay, it's, you know, they accept what she did. As they're kind of like, you know, all making up and stuff, they hear a knock on the door. And it is Alice's parents. But they are not there to report Jenna or turn Jenna in. They are there to ask Jenna's dad to save their daughter's life. End scene. Epilogue.
Oh.
The epilogue skips forward 260 years.
Great.
Jenna and Alice are living in Mr. Bender's house for some reason.
Thruple?
No. Mr. Bender is an old man.
Oh. Well,
he's like he's like dead now.
He's been dead for 200 years.
I don't remember if they explain why they're in his house and not in her parents' house. No. So Jenna and Ethan were married for like 70 years, it says.
And he aged and she didn't.
He aged, but she didn't.
Okay.
Jenna remained a secret. The world eventually becomes more accepting of what happened with her. And so before Ethan had died, they had like, I guess her parents had saved her eggs and then they saved Ethan's sperm. And so she like through surrogate has a child.
Her bio eggs.
No.
Oh, they saved her eggs
from the accident.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So they did think about that. Anyway.
I don't think I would have in that situation. I don't think.
Anyway, Kayla is a normal human. And okay. So she is going to age and everything normally. And because Jenna's like, I don't want to have to like, I don't want to outlive my child. Yeah, yeah. She said when Kayla gets older, she is going to move back to Boston with Kayla. And they're going to like live out the rest of her time in Boston until the biogel stops working.
So it's like Bicentennial Man.
Kind of, yeah. And that's how the book ends.
Sick.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. I cannot come up with a favorite moment for the life of me.
Oh, is that a...
Maybe because most of this book is just okay.
Yeah, it sounds fine.
I think the concept was really cool. I kept reading, hoping that there was going to be something bigger or more that was going to be revealed or something. And, like, it kind of just didn't. I kind of figured out pretty much what was going on pretty early on.
Yeah, it seemed to telegraph itself.
fine. Like, that's not necessarily a problem, but I was like hoping for like another like second huge twist or something.
Nope.
And like, it just didn't happen. So everything was kind of just okay to me.
I just feel like the story has been told better so many times.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best part of the book for me was just like that, even though the story wasn't told super great, the questions it was posing did, like, I did like think about them mm-hmm. a lot, and like, it did pose a lot of good questions. I just feel like the story could have been stronger.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I have a couple parts that made me super mad. Okay. One is like, I don't necessarily think that what Jenna's parents did was wrong. I think that they loved their child and mm-hmm. they were going to do whatever they could to save her.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent, I understand that. Mm-hmm. If I had access to this, you know, miracle
thing that could
save my child from death, I would use it in a heartbeat. I don't have any problem with that. The problem I have is like, oh my God, just tell her everything.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, she's going to figure out that she's not fucking aging.
Right. Like, she's going to figure it out eventually.
She's not going to get periods anymore. Like, there's all sorts of shit that's, like, not going to, that's going to just be different.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. That was just, like, really, that was just annoying. So, whatever. I'm also super annoyed that Jenna just forgives Alice. Like, Alice was fully prepared or intent on Jenna being taken away by the bioethics
board.
Which
is, like, bullshit because it's, like, Alice, girl.
And, like, it's not Jenna's fault.
She had no say in it. B, you, all your limbs are this shit. What you mean? What you mean, Alice?
Well, her limbs are not made out of biogel.
But they're not made out of her, either.
Right. Well, like, but that's the thing, is, like, she is so, like, consumed with, no, this is how it has to work in order for it to be ethical. And if you don't do that, you're illegal. And, like, she's basically just a freaking narc. And Jenna just, like, is like, okay, yeah, no, you can come and live with me. And, like, I'm glad that Alice survived and that she doesn't die as a teenager of this awful illness. Like, yay, I'm glad for that. But also, like, I would be like, that's great. Go live your life over there.
Yeah.
Because you tried to get me freaking arrested.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You're not allowed in my home mm-hmm. or near my child.
For 260
exactly.
years?
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. Absolutely not. Anyway.
So was she, like, living in there with her and Ethan, just, like, listening through the wall? What was that situation
like? I'm reading the second book right now, and they start talking about it a little bit. I think it's a little bit, I think that they're just living together now.
Okay.
Since they don't, neither of them, like, have anybody else, so they're just living
because they're alive
now.
And yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
so I think that's what it is. So yeah. Anyway, screw you, Alice. I don't know. I did not like her. I know she's a teenager and she was probably just jealous, but still. Anyway. My favorite character was probably Lily.
Love bitchy old ladies.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, like, she was Catholic, but not, like, too Catholic. Like, I think there was, like, a little bit of, like, dealing with, like, what is a soul and, like, when does somebody become a person? And so I think I read an interview, and, like, that's why she, like, the author is not Catholic. She just chose to make a character Catholic so that there could be, like, a natural bringing up of, like, what is the soul and things like that.
Yeah. One of the things that I've seen it several times, but, like, I don't know, it's just a meme that's like, I didn't believe in a soul until I saw, like, AI generated art.
Uh-huh.
And it's so obvious when something is made without one that the soul must exist.
Right. There's something out there that makes humans humans that is different for some reason, and it's not tangible, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I just felt like she was, like, so determined, like, no, I'm not gonna like this new thing that just looks like my granddaughter but is not my granddaughter. And it, like, slowly, like, as Jenna continues to just be who she is, and she's like, oh, okay, maybe this is still my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just liked her character development.
Yeah.
I felt like it was probably the best out of the book. So overall, this book was super wild, all over the place. Yep. It covered some really intense questions, but again, the story...
Not well.
Just yeah. okay. The pacing was kind of weird. I felt like some of the characters were underdeveloped. Like, by the end, like, I get that, like, she was, like, super crushing on Ethan, but, like, to go from, like, we kissed and we like each other to, like, we were married for 70 years, I was like...
I mean, that happens some... And, like, it's somebody that knows what she is. Yeah. Like, imagine...
I know. It just felt like there wasn't, like, I wasn't invested in that relationship enough.
They didn't develop it enough.
Yeah, they didn't... She didn't really develop it enough, I felt like. I felt like some of the big reveals just, like, fell flat. And, like, there was never a time where I was like, oh, what?
That's
like,
why pacing is important.
Yes. So... So it was, it could have been better. The execution could have been better. I will say too, I listened to this book on audio and the narrator, I didn't look up like a picture of the narrator or anything. I don't know what she looks like or anything, but Jenna is supposed to be like 17.
Uh-huh.
And the narrator played her like she was like 13 or 14. And I was just like, this feels like a bit disconnected.
Are you just old now?
It could be.
I think you might just be old
but
now.
Like, she just sounds so young. Like, I have in recent memory interacted with 17-18 year olds and they talk like people. This person talked like a child. I don't know, it was weird, but maybe it is just because I'm old.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
could very well could be. But I will say that I've already started book two. And book two is already going way better.
Okay.
So it was good enough for me to be like, I think I would like to read more about what's going on here. So I think this book, it was just early in the author's career, probably sure. still learning. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So whatever. Not every book can be a winner. It's okay. Yeah. So I gave this book 3 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
I don't really have much else left to say about it. I think I've said
You've
everything
said,
I need
I
to
think
say.
Plenty has been said about yeah. this middling book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so go follow us on Instagram at @PageAndPixelPC. I promise to try to post more things.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, with that being said, read hard.
Play hard and don't play God, you tiny bitch.
Whoa.